Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. In Melbourne, it's 2:30 p.m. on November the 29th, 1948, a day in which a portion of the economic history of Australia will be written. This afternoon, you will be listening to a ceremony connected with one of the most significant industrial achievements in Australia for many years. In a few moments, you will hear from the lips of four distinguished men something of the history and of the importance to Australia of the production by General Motors Holland of the Holland car. Now, may I just give you a brief outline of this afternoon's program and, if I can, a word picture of this exciting scene in the social hall of General Motors Holland's headquarters plant here at Fisherman's Bend in Melbourne. It's a modern and roomy building, normally used as a staff dining and recreation hall, but now transformed by the magical touch of ingenuity and hard work into a hall rivaling in appearance the most exotic fashion salons of London and Paris. Lining the walls on ledges fairly high up from the floor are hundreds and hundreds of rhododendrons making a very colourful display, and right in front of me here is a bowl of the most wonderful collection of flowers. Right in front of the musicians' gallery at the end opposite the entrance doors of the hall, and on my left, where I'm broadcasting, is a specially constructed revolving stage on which rests, behind curtains at the moment, the first car mass-produced in Australia, the Holland. And in a few minutes, the Right Honourable the Prime Minister of Australia, the Honourable the Premier of Victoria, Mr. Bettel, Managing Director of General Motors Holland for Australia, and Mr. B.W. Kunkel, Vice President of General Motors Corporation of the United States of America, will combine to give this car its official launching over an Australia-wide network of broadcasting stations. In addition to the guests in this hall and to the listeners to radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, the ceremony is being amplified through every General Motors plant in the country, so that the many thousands of General Motors employees who have played their part in the production of the Holland may share in this thrilling and important moment. Among the 1,200 guests here today are representatives of the judiciary, the federal government, the state government, the consular service, the city and municipal councils, the armed services, the universities, the churches, the trade unions, the banks, the press, and a great number of other distinguished citizens who have come to take part in this history-making event. Among them, I now notice Lady Holland of Adelaide, whose husband, the late Sir Edward Holland, was a pioneer in the motor industry in Australia and chairman of directors of General Motors Holland from 1931 to his death. She particularly must be very proud of this achievement. Now, after the ceremony of launching, the guests will be shown the production lines of the Holland, and it may interest you to know that this headquarters plant, portion of which they will see, this headquarters plant of General Motors Holland, occupies 50 acres of land at Fisherman's Bend, and it's perhaps significant and certainly historically repetitive that this spot, just outside of the city of Melbourne, should have been the starting point in December 1853, that's 95 years ago, of the first Cobb & Company coach. Cobb's coaches introduced passenger road services to Australia and operated for, I think it was 58 years, until competition for motor vehicles ended their reign. Soon we shall see, in this all-Australian car, evidence of the progress since those early days. Here is the culmination of the enterprise and industry of Australians. And not only the General Motors employees, but of the thousands of people in other industries who have contributed something to this project. Now, in a moment or two, you will hear the first speaker this afternoon, who will be Mr. H.E. Bettel, Managing Director of General Motors Holland Limited, Australia. He is sitting in front of me here. On his left is the Premier of Victoria, the Honourable T.T. Holway, and on his right is the Prime Minister of Australia, the Right Honourable J.B. Chifley. There are many other distinguished citizens I can see. The Chief of the Naval Staff, Rear Admiral J. Collins. Chief of the Air Staff, Air Marshal George Jones. And Professor Copeland. Secretary of the Trades Hall, Mr. Monk. President of the Australian Council of Trade Unions, Mr. Clary. Mr. Duncan, the Chief Commissioner of Police. Mr. Essington Lewis, Managing Director of the HP, Mr. Robert Knox, Mr. Robinson, Mr. H. Baillieu, and Mr. Norman Myers, Managing Director of Myers, a number of press people here, Mr. Tewksbury of the Oriental Hotel has just walked in, And Mr. Campbell, the Innocence of the Age. Fidel Kelly. Mr. Jack Waters, editor of the Sun News Pictorial. Editor of the Herald, Mr. Archer Thomas. Mr. Colwell has just arrived and is now shaking hands with Mr. Kunkel and having what appears to be an amusing chat with the Prime Minister. Probably a little delay in the proceedings now. These gentlemen seem to be enjoying themselves. Let me just see if I can spot any other guest whose presence may interest you. The orchestra you hear, by the way, is the Percy Pledger and his strings. Now here's Mr. Bettle, Managing Director of General Motors, President of Australia, who will open the proceedings.
Premier, my Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you here today on the occasion of the inauguration of this new industry. We are not only honored by your presence, but we feel that your attendance at this function is a great compliment to General Motors Holdings Limited. I am particularly grateful also for the opportunity afforded to me to address the 8,300 employees of General Motors Holdings Limited in Australia, in Melbourne, in Sydney, Brisbane, Adelaide, and Perth, who are being reached by landline and a public address system in all of our plants, so that they too may participate in this ceremony. Many of you may be familiar in some degree with the origin and progress of this new automobile manufacturing project. Since transportation is such a major factor in the functioning of our civilization, the initiation of manufacture in Australia of a form of transportation that has proved to be essential to social and commercial progress throughout the world is no ordinary event. Therefore, it seems appropriate to outline to you very briefly how, and more particularly why, this new industry came into being. Its origin lies in an invitation issued in 1944 by the Commonwealth government to undertake the manufacture of a motor car in Australia. General Motors Holdings responded to that invitation, as a result of which we agreed with the Commonwealth government to build a motor car and a companion utility. In implementing this agreement, commercial specifications were established by General Motors Holdings Limited here in Australia. By commercial specifications, I mean such things as the approximate size of the car, requirements in the way of operating and economy characteristics, road clearance, and other features that would make it particularly suitable for Australian operating conditions. When these commercial specifications were decided upon, they were forwarded to the General Motors Corporation in the United States and were used as the basis for the styling of the car and its engineering specifications. The General Motors Corporation made available to us all of their vast resources and facilities in order that the car, as finally designed, would meet the objectives in regard to size, performance, and economy called for by our requirements in this country. This work was done in the United States because there were available to us there facilities, resources, technique, and know-how that there had not been the opportunity heretofore to develop in Australia. And we desire to avail ourselves of these advantages so as to assure the design and specification of a fine motor car. During this period also, a group of 30 Australian engineers and technicians were sent by General Motors Holdings to the United States where they remain for periods of from 6 months to 2 years for training in the various divisions of General Motors Corporation and to work with General Motors engineers in developing the product. This program of sending Australians to the United States for training in techniques peculiar to automobile manufacturing is still going on. When the engineering design was finished, three test models were built in the United States and received preliminary testing at the famous General Motors Proving Grounds near Detroit. After these preliminary tests, the combined engineering group came to Australia to complete all of the final work preparatory to the initiation of manufacturing operations. These American and Australian personnel, together with their families, comprised a group of 86 people and arrived in Sydney on December 28, 1946. Since that date, additional experimental cars have been built, exhaustive tests completed, and all development work on this project has been done here in Australia. Since December 1946 also, buildings have been erected, equipment has been purchased and installed, tooling has been completed, supervision and labor have been trained, and as you will see later on this afternoon, we are now in production of the Holden car. The Holden utility will go into production late in 1949. I'm sure you will be most interested, however, to know why General Motors decided to manufacture a car in Australia and what we think this will achieve. Such an undertaking, as you will better appreciate after you've had an opportunity to inspect our factories this afternoon, is an ambitious, costly, and complicated one. In terms of money, it represents an outlay of approximately £8,500,000. In terms of volume, it is expected that we will produce annually Holden cars for domestic consumption at the rate of approximately 20,000 units, which is about the minimum figure required to justify the investment that we have been required to make. However, in spite of this relatively low volume to justify complete manufacture, the decision was taken to move forward with this program because we in General Motors believe certain things. We believe in Australia and her students. We believe that Australia will continue to grow in population, in the development of her resources, and in her influence on world events. We believe that this manufacturing venture will be an economic one and permit us to earn a return on our added investment for the shareholders. As a public company, this must necessarily be a primary and fundamental consideration. There are in this country alone more than 1,700 preferred shareholders of General Motors Holdings Limited who will be vitally interested in this reason for our decision. We believe that there is a vital need in this country for more road transportation, and that through the manufacture of a car and a utility especially designed for Australia, we can contribute to the satisfaction of that need. We believe that through this effort of ours, we can contribute to Australia's industrial advancement and exert a beneficial influence on the whole Australian economy. In that connection, the mass production of motor cars in this country will have a widespread effect on the further development of precision manufacture here. The modern motor car is precision built and embodies close manufacturing limits, control tolerances, and rigid specifications. We feel sure, therefore, that as our own manufacturing program develops, and later, as other companies come into the field, as they inevitably will, the supporting industries that will be created and built up will benefit from the new techniques that motor car manufacture will necessarily introduce. We believe that the presence of a motor car industry in Australia will contribute vitally to Australia's plans for national defense. We believe further that motor car manufacture in Australia will have a stabilizing influence on employment because we and others as they move closer to complete manufacture will become more independent of overseas sources where frequent model changes and other factors outside of our control have caused interruption in our production and created peaks and valleys in our employment curve. This stabilizing influence will be felt not only by ourselves, but by all supporting industries. We believe that after increasing our volume to the point where it will satisfy domestic demand, we can export Holden cars and utilities to many other countries of the world, and thus establish Australia as an export source for automobiles, along with the United States, England, Canada, and some European countries. Finally, we believe that in the Holden car and utility, we will be producing vehicles that satisfy in the broadest manner possible the basic transport needs of this country. We consider, therefore, that this is an historic and significant occasion. It is significant insofar as General Motors Holdens is concerned, because today marks the birth of a new product that will take its place proudly with such other famous cars as Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, and Vauxhall. It is an historic occasion for General Motors, too, because it means a substantial expansion in our activities and a rounding out of our operations, where heretofore we have been confined to the importation of chassis and the manufacture of bodies. With the inauguration of this car manufacturing activity, General Motors Holdens becomes a highly integrated manufacturing unit, comparable, except in size, with other manufacturing divisions of General Motors Corporation. The Holden is the product of team effort. It has been made possible only by the closest cooperation between the Commonwealth government, the governments of Victoria and South Australia, the General Motors Corporation in the United States, our many hundreds of suppliers in Australia, without whom it would be impossible to manufacture a car in volume, and the personnel of General Motors Holdens Limited, who have worked hard and loyally and who have spared no effort to produce this car on time and to the standard of quality which characterizes every product with which General Motors is identified all over the world. To all who have contributed so much to the creation of this new industry, I express my sincere thanks and those of the company. The introduction of the Holden is of international significance, too, in that it marks another milestone in the development of better understanding and cooperation between two great democratic countries, Australia and the United States of America. It is entirely fitting that the close understanding and cooperative working arrangements that existed in such full measure during the war years should be perpetuated in times of peace in an industrial effort of this kind. I feel that there are a few things you should know about the Holden. In the first place, it is truly an Australian car. Our understanding with the government was that imported parts and components would not exceed 10% of the list price or 5% of the weight of the car. These relationships have not been exceeded in the final product. Moreover, General Motors Holdens Limited is dedicated to the policy that as rapidly as any of these parts and components can be manufactured economically in Australia, they will replace those that are now being imported. At the time we decided to manufacture a car here, and in deciding upon what type of car we would make, the price at which it would be sold in relation to the prices of cars imported from the United States and England was estimated. In spite of the increase in price levels generally during the past 3 years, I am happy to say that the price that has been fixed for the Holden is in approximately the same relation to the current prices of our own and competitive makes as that which we had established as our objective. You will be interested to know, I am sure, that the price of the Holden is £675 at all capital cities. You will see the Holden in a few moments, and I know you will be pleased with it. It is a full-size automobile with a six-cylinder motor, rated horsepower of 21.6, and developed horsepower of 60. The body is of all steel, integral construction, incorporating unusual features of headroom, legroom, vision, comfort, and operating convenience. The Holden has a top speed of 80.5 miles per hour. And because of its power-weight ratio, not only has what is generally known as American car performance characteristics, but provides the economy of many smaller cars of lower horsepower and lesser performance. As I said earlier, the creation of this new industry is no ordinary event. We in General Motors Holden enter into this new phase of our operations fully conscious of our new responsibilities, but with confidence and in the knowledge that everyone in Australia will appreciate the effort that has been made in starting this new industry, which will make a constructive and lasting contribution to the Australian economy. We are proud to be the first in this new field. We are proud to have our new product bear the name of Holden, a name that has always been honored and respected in automotive circles in Australia, and we are proud in the Holden to offer to Australia a fine car that will, we know, justify its creation. Thank you very much.
Well, that was Mr. Harold E. Bettel, Managing Director of General Motors Holden Limited. Now going back to the speaker's rostrum.
During the period of development of our plans for the manufacture of a car in Australia, which have culminated in the production of the Holden, we in General Motors Limited have been deeply appreciative of the encouragement and help that has been given to us by the present government of the state of Victoria and the government that immediately preceded it. Earlier Victorian state governments also have contributed to our progress, and one of them made it possible for us to establish ourselves here at Fisherman's Bend. Our location at Fisherman's Bend and the ceremony that is taking place today represent an historical coincidence. This is the second time in 100 years that an important step in the development of road transport has taken place at Fisherman's Bend. In 1853, within a short distance of where we are today, the first Cobb and Company coach made its first journey, which was a forerunner of an extensive service by that famous company in Victoria and later in other states. It is particularly appropriate, therefore, that we have with us today the Premier of Victoria, and it gives me great pleasure to present to you the Honorable T.T. Holloway, who has kindly consented to address us. Mr. Holloway.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Prime Minister, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I want to say how very deeply honored I am to have this opportunity of associating myself with the Prime Minister in what Mr. Bettel has very rightly described as a most historical occasion, not only for the people of Victoria, but for the people of Australia generally. And I think that it's a grand thing that General Motors Holden should have come to Victoria and begun this task, which we now see today reaching its successful conclusion. And I think also that not only are they to be congratulated on the steps that they've taken, because it will be a big thing in our Australian economy. But in addition to that, I think that they're to be congratulated by reason of the fact that this does represent another step in the relationship between the great nation of the United States and our own nation of Australia. And I am firmly of this opinion, and I think that very few will disagree with me, when I say that the peace of the world at the present time depends on the United States of America and the British Commonwealth of Nations. And it's that understanding between these two great nations that will either perpetuate our type of civilization, or, if misunderstandings occur, if we break apart, then without any doubt whatever, The type of civilization which we know is doomed. And it's a good thing, then, to see this very strong concrete link between these two great countries. Now, I don't propose to talk at great length on this occasion, but I do want to say here to some of our American friends who are present that this is Australia, this Australia is a land of opportunity. I believe that we've only just scratched the surface of our industrial development. The one thing that I want to say to my Australian friends is this, that we are confronted here with the task of either developing Australia or of losing it altogether. And our decision, and it must be our decision, is whether or not we are going to develop Australia, whether we're going to work together, or whether, eventually, we've got to stand aside to some common foe who is going to develop this country for us. And for that reason, I'm glad to know that General Motors Holdings are regarded as good employers, because I regard the bad employer as just as much, in fact, more of a menace than the bad trade union, because we've got responsibilities in this. And I hope that the work in this factory, the product, I hope that the work will be happy, that there will be a happy relationship between employer and employee, because it's only in that way that we can develop this country as it should be developed. And the thing that makes me tired and annoyed is when there are industrial disturbances and people start talking about victory. There's no such thing as a victory in any industrial turmoil. Both sides lose, for a certainty, and the community loses all along the line. And so my earnest hope is that here, in the inauguration of this big development, I hope the relationship between employer and employee will be of the very happiest. And my concluding remark is that I wish the Holden car every success. Good luck to the Holden car, and good luck to all that ride therein.
That was the Premier of Victoria, the Honourable T.P. Holway, MLA.
Thank you, Mr. Premier. At the time that General Motors Holdings Limited responded to the government's invitation to manufacture a motor car in Australia, no request was made for special protection, bounties, or subsidies of any kind. It was felt that a project of this nature should stand upon its own feet economically. The only thing that we asked of the Commonwealth government was cooperation within the areas of the various departments that would be concerned in one way or another with this new undertaking. Such cooperation has been received in the fullest possible measure. And the Prime Minister, his ministers, and all departments of the Commonwealth government have constantly demonstrated their interest in our program and their understanding of its magnitude and importance. For that reason, we are particularly grateful to the Prime Minister, the Right Honorable J.B. Chifley, who at a considerable sacrifice involving a special air trip from Canberra has graciously consented to launch this new industry. It gives me much pleasure and honor, therefore, to present to you the Prime Minister.
Mr. Battles, Mr. Premier, my Lord Mayor, Mr. Kunkel, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say in the first place that it gives me more than ordinary pleasure to join with General Motors Holdings today in this inauguration of this new car project. One of the reasons for that is that during the war it was driven home to the government, and I think to all those concerned with transport in this country, the urgent need of this country itself being able to produce the things it wanted, not only from an economic point of view, but from the point of view of defence of the country. Therefore, it fell to me, to some degree, as a minister in the Curtin government, in conjunction with the late Senator Keane, to examine the position as regards development of motor car manufacture in Australia. It was necessary, in the interests of those who might be interested in such a project, to repeal legislation at then on the books of the Commonwealth Parliament. That was legislation relating to certain proposals for the manufacture of motor car engines in Australia. And it was not until that legislation was repealed that it would have been possible for any organisation to have undertaken the task that General Motors Holdings has undertaken. And following upon that, as Mr. Bettel has said, the Commonwealth Government, in many discussions in which I took part myself and with other ministers, came to an understanding with General Motors Holdings that they would engage on what, in a country of this size, is a very gigantic venture. And that work has gone on. And although Mr. Bettel has been good enough to pay some tribute to those associated with the Commonwealth Government and with other governments, the great body of that work, of course, in fact the entire work, the planning of this particular project, has fallen to the technical staff and the personnel associated with the company. The most governments are ever able to do for any industry is to give them help and sympathy in the project they have in hand. And that's the most that the Commonwealth Government or any other government could do in this particular project. That we have tried to do. And it gives me very great pleasure here today, because I was the Minister and the Treasurer associated with those original discussions. Therefore, naturally, I'm very glad to see that fruition has been reached in connection with this project. There's one great Australian not with us today, because ill health has immobilised him, who has been a fighter for Australian industries over a lifetime in the Federal Parliament. And that was a former Prime Minister of this country, Mr. J.H. Scullin, Right Honourable J.H. Scullin. He was a man who always fought for Australian industries. He was one, although only a private member of the Parliament, to place behind this project all the influence and urging and advocacy of which he was capable, that a project and project such of this as this is should be inaugurated in Australia. Mr. Holloway has mentioned, and I think Mr. Bettel has mentioned too, the great opportunities that offer to this country of ours. And when we joined in whatever we were able to do, and I say it could only be helped because the work rests with the company itself, we had two things in mind. First of all, the great development of this country, which I think is inevitable, whatever our difficulties might be. They are common to nearly all countries of the world today. And I suppose while human nature remains as it is, all these problems, these human problems that arise between those who are employees and those who are employers, and between governments and the individuals in the community, will always to some degree exist. I hope that the modern education that we now give to the young people of the community will bring perhaps a more reasonable outlook, a better understanding, not only on behalf of the worker himself, but on behalf of the employer and the industrialist, in solving these human problems which always face us. I know we're never short of advice. Mr. Holloway and myself have never short of advice. There's a multitude of them. And although they say there is wisdom in a multitude of counsellors, we haven't always found that to be true. So sometimes we've got to exercise a great deal of patience, not only with those whom perhaps sometimes mistakenly or otherwise we've placed in power in the country, but in those whom we've got to deal with in the community. We have in this country today magnificent opportunities. Never have such marvellous opportunities offered to a young country before. I speak perhaps with undue pride in the country to which I belong. Of its possibilities, not only as Mr. Bettel has said, of its development in this country, within its own borders, but its opportunity to supply to other people in the Pacific and Southeast Asia, many of the things that in the days to come they will require. Your amount of all this human travail that we find today, from which the world is suffering, I'm quite sure that finally will come from that. Perhaps in my time, but certainly in the time of the younger members of this audience, many better standards of living for the peoples of the world. Mr. Holloway has made reference to the matter of the peace of the world. And I think he has touched on the thing that matters most to all of us. Not perhaps to so many of us, but perhaps have journeyed further along the highway to eternity, but to the youth and the future children of this country and of the world. Because the prospect of further wars is a terrifying and appalling one. And Mr. Holloway said that the peace of the world depends largely and almost entirely on the cooperation of the British-speaking people, and I join the United Kingdom and the British Commonwealth of Nations in America in that. Upon them does depend largely the peace of the world. And therefore, anything that we can do in any way to improve the human relationship, not only amongst the members of our own community, but amongst the peoples of the world, is time indeed well spent, because it will have been spent in the interest of humanity. I know that this project, which Mr. Bettles has spoken of today, and which you are here to celebrate the inauguration of, is one of great economic value. It has also, as Mr. Holloway has said, its human relationships, the relationships of the United States of America to this country. I suppose I've been privileged as Commonwealth Treasurer now for over 4 than 7 years, no doubt to a lot of people's regret. Nobody's had more opportunity to associate and work with the people of the American nation than I have myself. My dealings with them as representatives of that country, and this country during the war, my talks with them in regard to commercial projects since the war, have always been of the very happiest. And I hope at least they've taken from this country the same present recollections of us, those who have visited here, as we have taken away from them. The project which you have here today is only, as Mr. Holloway, Mr. Bettles has said, another link in that relationship. But it has become necessary because, after all, although one must fight for peace, one must always keep one's gunpowder dry. Therefore, it becomes an essential thing. It was proved to us with double emphasis in the last war that when we were here on this perimeter of the Pacific, needing things badly, in fact, in hundreds of cases and thousands of cases, we had to improvise for the things that are necessary for our own protection and to render that help which our allies sought, including the United States of America, who joined with us in this Pacific fight. We don't want that to happen again, as far as it is humanly possible to avoid it. We want this country to be able to provide those things, not only for ordinary economic reasons, but for the purpose of always being in a position to take that part in the defense of our own country, which might in some cases, in some days, in the future, be essential. We are, as I say, an isolated community, a small country, it's true. There's no use of us talking big or beyond our own capacity. As I've said and has been said by the Premier, that capacity, I believe, is very great. Those younger people amongst you can look forward to a life and an active life in the service of the nation for the next quarter of a century, or perhaps more. There'll be, I think, very great changes and very great developments here. Although we have our differences at times, Mr. Holloway and I find ourselves very widely apart from some of the domestic affairs of the country, we are, after all, Australians. And I think when I say that, it means that finally, whatever is good for the community, we all stand for. The only difference that might arise is how best that objective can be reached. Now, coming back to the project that the General Motors Holland has lavished so much time and money and energy and ability in developing the technique of the manufacture of this car, I want to take the opportunity of extending to them my warm congratulations. Not only do I cite to them in friendly notes and congratulations, but I cite to others in the community. Now, the lines of production that I have cite to will go and do likewise. But there can be no question that General Motors Holdings has shown a great initiative and an enterprise in connection with the production of this car, but no other organization of that particular character has displayed in this country. I have talked to all the people associated with this different project at different times. Over 7 years ago, when I first became Commonwealth Treasurer, I spoke to them in very strong terms then, because the war was then on, the war with Japan, and the evidence of the unavailability of the things that we needed even for defense, apart from economic requirements, was evident to all who like to examine the position at all closely. This company has developed more rapidly, certainly shown greater initiative and greater enterprise than anybody else in developing this particular line of project. And I want to say, Mr. Bedell, and to your Vice President, that the Council is with us here today, and I understand, has come from America to join with you in the ceremony today. But I know it's not only been the technical personnel of the managers and the directors, the vice presidents, terribly important people, I always found to be these vice presidents, but right down along the line to the workmen, to the men and women who all must play their part. I'm sure Mr. Bedell won't mind me saying here today that a project of this kind, the development of a company of this kind and this magnitude, the development of a project of this magnitude, can only after all be made possible by the thousands of willing hands. Who toil unsung and unhonored beyond the project. I'd only spoke to Mr. Bedell about it at lunchtime. The absolute necessity. I was breeding in this country. I know there's a magnificent spirit now, the war has shown that, but even a better spirit in our industrial life. No use of all blaming the workers. I have not, if you like, for that. I said to Mr. Bedell at lunchtime, absolutely necessary it is that the people who are the link between great public enterprises, if possible for Mr. Kunkel or Mr. Bedell, to make those contacts with all the thousands who play their part in producing a new car. Now, there is a link between them and the workers, and those are their foremen and their supervisors and their overseers. And they too can give a great deal of thought to the human relationships which exist between an organization and the people who work for it. Now, I'm sure the Mr. Bedell and Mr. Kunkel too will excuse me for mentioning this afternoon the absolute necessity, and I think they've had evidence in their own organization, of always giving some recognition to the very humble hand who may only even sweep the floor but plays his part and providing some little might toward an organization such as this. Then, Mr. Chairman, this work that you have this afternoon been the confirmation of a great deal of work, of thought, of study, of worry, of great financial expenditure, of training of hundreds, thousands perhaps of people in various lines to which they were not accustomed before. And therefore, to come here this afternoon and join with you in what is a national project, it has nothing at all to do with politics, because I'm not here, and nor is Mr. Holloway, in a political mission. We're here purely as Australians, purely as your own fellow citizens, who temporarily, at any rate, have been elevated somewhat, perhaps above the rank and file. I use the word temporarily because life is very uncertain in the world. But behind all this work and behind the production that you see this afternoon goes all the work of those skilled personnel, all the worry and thought of the directors and organisation, and behind that the work of all those humbler people who have played their part in producing here this afternoon for you the spectacle of seeing an Australian car. And therefore, I join with you generally, with the visitor here this afternoon, thanking the manager for the opportunity to come here and speak to you briefly. I thank the company on behalf of the government, and I think I do that as well with Mr. Holloway on behalf of the people of this country, for the initiative and enterprise they've shown in this project. And in here this afternoon, after all that skill, after all that devotion to the industry, after that expenditure of money to produce this great national project, and here this afternoon, to have before you for your own personal observation, an exhibition, the result of all that work, before you, the Holden car.
That was the Right Honourable David Chifley, Prime Minister of Australia. Now the curtains on the stage have been pulled back to display the Holden car just officially launched by the Prime Minister. The Holden is on the revolving stage, or revolving platform in the middle of the stage. I can't quite see it from here. I'll get a look at it in one moment and tell you something more about it. And the lights of the hall are out. There's a spotlight on the car, which is going round very slowly. Press photographers are gathering around, taking pictures of it. It's the first really big public preview of this car, about which Australia has heard so much. And there's an air of excitement, and if I may say so, a thrill in this hall. I can see that its colour is Gawler cream. It's a very nice looking job. Just let me get up for a moment with this microphone, if I may, and I'll just have a look and see if I can tell you something about it. It's a four-door, saloon-type car, a very commodious-looking boot. Its clearance from the ground, I think roughly around 8.5 to 9 inches. It's, I shouldn't think it's any more than 5.5 feet from the ground to its top. It's really a beautiful-looking job. Appropriately enough, the number plate at the back, GMH1948. Upholstery of this particular car is red leather. Got all the latest features. The gear shift lever is on the steering wheel. It's fairly wide. Looks as though it would seat comfortably 5 to 6 people. It's got the tiny windows in front. I don't know quite what Beavis, who's here with me and is a member of the General Motors Organization. What are those windows called? Ventilator, that's right. The no-draft ventilator windows. A sloping windscreen. The 1,200 visitors here, more than 1,200, I think, we've got people standing as well as sitting. Showing their admiration for the car by the applause which you can hear. Very nice looking job. It's not unlike in appearance. It's not unlike the small edition of a Chevrolet. Very modern lines. I've got some technical details. The lights are up at the moment. I can't see them, but I'll tell you about if no one else does. That is another speaker to come, Mr. Kunkel, who's the director of the General Motors Overseas. And he comes from America, of course. And if he doesn't cover the technical details of the car, I think I have some information here in which you might be interested for later on. Certainly giving people an opportunity of chatting about it, pointing out various features of it. very long car. The wheelbase doesn't seem to be terrific. Lights are gone up now, and the turntable has stopped revolving.
From its very inception, this Australian car project of ours has been considered most important by the entire General Motors Corporation in the United States. And its progress and development have been followed very closely by everyone in the corporation, and particularly the senior executives. As evidence of this, I received cables today which have just been received from Mr. Alfred T. Sloan, Jr., Chairman of Directors, General Motors Corporation, Mr. C. E. Wilson, President, General Motors Corporation, and Mr. C. E. Riley, Vice President of the Corporation and General Manager of General Motors Overseas Operations. I think you'd like to hear these cables. On this historic occasion, when Australia enters upon the great adventure of launching its automotive industry, we in America are wishing every success for the undertaking and are hoping that this newborn industry will bring to you in large and bountiful measure economic development, social and cultural benefits, and prosperity. It has been a privilege for General Motors to share in the development of this great project, and we wish you every success. Alfred P. Sloan, Jr., Chairman of Directors. Heartiest congratulations to you and your organization upon your announcement that General Motors Holden automobiles are now in production in Australia. We in Detroit are confident that the Holden will make an important contribution to the economic and social well-being of Australia. With the Holden in production, the General Motors Overseas Operation Division is continuing to make available to Australians our policy of more and better things for more people. May we also take this occasion to congratulate the people of Australia on the great progress they are making in the post-war world. C. E. Wilson, President, General Motors Corporation. On behalf of all of us here, I extend hearty congratulations to you and the entire General Motors Holden organization on realization of this project, which gives the Australian people a motor vehicle of which they can be truly proud, as they are of the honored name it bears. C. E. Riley, General Motors Overseas Operations. If there were any doubt remaining as to the high regard in which this project is held by our associates in America, it would certainly be dispelled by the presence here today of Mr. B. D. Kunkel, Vice President and Director of General Motors Corporation. Mr. Kunkel has closely associated himself with our program for the manufacture of an Australian car since its beginning. It is particularly fitting, therefore, that he should be here on this occasion. Recognizing its importance, both to the Commonwealth of Australia and to this company, Mr. Kunkel has made the journey from Detroit to Melbourne just to join us today and to participate in this inauguration ceremony. He has very kindly consented to address us, and I have much pleasure in introducing him to you, Mr. Kunkel.
That, of course, was Mr. Harold Stettler. Now, here's Mr. Kunkel.
The Prime Minister, Mr. Vermeer, the Lord Mayor, Mr. Battle, and ladies and gentlemen. Needless to say, this is a very thrilling moment for me because, as Mr. Bennett has told you, I have been very much interested in following this project personally since its very inception. And I feel today that in the light of these very fine expressions that you have had in the telegrams that Mr. Bennett has read, that it is a privilege that Mr. Phillips and I are permitted to be here as ambassadors to represent personally that interest. And we brought Mrs. Cooker with us to be sure that we kept on our good behavior so far from home. And so, supplementing what you have already heard direct from cable from them, I want to assure you that they send all of the organization there their greetings and best wishes for the work that has been done and for the inauguration here today of this new enterprise. Since I have been associated with the overseas operations of General Motors, I've not had an opportunity to visit all of its worldwide locations, but it has been my particular pleasure to meet in the places that I have visited and find there the relationship that exists between our activities in the countries where we operate and the people whom we seek to serve. This has been especially true in my experience so far in Australia.
And where our activities are of such a type as to command your very fine interest and support throughout the period of our operations here. It has been the policy of General Motors to fit its operations to serve best the physical and economic needs of the people. In an address by Mr. Alfred P. Sloan several years ago, he placed our export operations into two general classes. Firstly, by encouraging the greatest possible volume of world trade by the exchange of goods and services. And secondly, by exporting capital and know-how, and thus we contribute to bringing into greater productivity the natural resources and labor of other peoples. This policy has been followed in Australia during the years of our operations here. In the earlier years, this consisted of import of complete motor vehicles. And then in 1923, the relationship with Holden's was established, by which the major requirements of bodies was supplied to our chassis here imported from Australian manufacturers. Subsequently, Holden's became a part of General Motors, and plants for the assembly of motor vehicles were built in Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane, and Perth. Each of these plants met an increased use of Australian labor, materials, and facilities in the supplying of cars and trucks to the people of Australia. Today marks another great step forward in this relationship, where, as Mr. Bettel has pointed out, in keeping with the policies enumerated by Mr. Sloan, this further investment in capital and equipment and facilities has been made. Here is embodied know-how through research, experience, and design, supported by trained personnel, all resulting in this new Australian car, the Holden, now in actual production as you will witness today. Certainly, there could be no greater evidence of the confidence of General Motors has in the future of Australia. In so many ways, our two countries, America and Australia, are much alike. We believe in free rights of the individual and in free enterprise. And to defend these ideals and principles, men of Australia and men of the United States have fought together with members who represented other units of the British Empire and those who thought alike with us in two great wars. Likewise, we are committed to the accomplishment of those ideals by moving forward together and promoting such enterprise as will provide more and better things for our people. In the face of many of the disturbing things which we have around us in our own countries and abroad, it is my own personal conviction that the best demonstration of the overcoming of these things is to have the courage to move forward in enterprise in the accomplishment of such things as you are witnessing here today. I believe myself that is the best answer to the reactionaries. And it is in this spirit that we have journeyed here to participate with you on this great occasion, commemorating the founding of a new and important industry.
one of the essential factors influencing the decision to accept the invitation of your government to start the building of a motor car designed for Australia and built in Australia was the fact that, like ourselves, you have great natural resources of iron, coal, lead, zinc, and copper, which through proper conversion are needed to support this industry. This is most essential if the full measure of accomplishment is to be achieved. For the present, it will be necessary to import certain items of equipment and a certain amount of basic raw material which are not now available to support the manufacture of these motor cars. We feel confident that in your own best interests, you will foster the development of supporting enterprise to provide such suitable materials as can be made available through conversion of your own natural resources. Sound industrial expansion depends upon the ability of any national economy to absorb a program of industrialization in step with a balanced development of its whole economy. Economic dislocation will inevitably occur if too much industrialization is attempted too soon. Among the important factors to be considered by any country seeking increased industrialization are: 1, raw materials of proper quality and quantity and at competitive prices; 2, adequate and reliable sources for the economic production and purchase of power; 3, availability of national or foreign management and of labor with a necessary degree of skill; 4, labor laws and administrative practices which are fair and reasonable; markets which are sufficiently broad and available; 6, tax systems and administrative regulations which permit the hope of earning and retaining an adequate return on capital; 7, access on equal terms and without restriction to sufficient foreign exchange to provide funds for interest and amortization payments on loans and dividends on equity capital; and 8, overall unit production costs which permit profitable operation. We have observed in our short stay here with some satisfaction that plans are underway to provide additional quantities of necessary types of iron and steel, and we are very hopeful that the program of expansion can be completed with a minimum of delay. In fact, we are confident that it will be. In presenting the Holden, it is now and will continue to be the purpose of our organization to produce a motor car pleasing in appearance, safe and convenient in its operation, dependable in its service, and at a price in keeping with the cost of production. To do this, much must be expected from our people and from supporting suppliers. To produce a car of quality and at a reasonable cost, every employee must be interested in his particular job, anxious to acquire the necessary skill to do his job well, and willing to apply himself with reasonable effort to do a good day's work. Furthermore, because of the continuity of operation, he should be regular in attendance and avoid any unnecessary absenteeism. It is also important that the full cooperation and support of suppliers of materials and services be assured. While most important components will be fabricated in the plant here and in South Australia, raw materials and parts purchased from suppliers in Australia will amount to nearly 42% of the cost of the car. These materials, parts, and accessories must necessarily be to the standard of quality and dependability that the job requires. Low cost and dependable deliveries are important considerations. It has been observed in our own country that flexible transportation has done more for the broad development of the country than any other single factor. The ability of people to go from one point to another easily extends their usefulness and makes it possible to carry on contact essential to progress in a much more satisfactory way. It may be interesting to note that at our manufacturing plants in the United States, the parking allotments for employees' cars are almost as large as the area of the factories themselves. I hope that someday this will be true in Australia, because it is our objective to provide low-cost transportation within the reach of the majority of your citizens, and we shall not be satisfied until this objective is accomplished. I have been glad to observe during my short visit here the interest that is being demonstrated by Australian workers in acquiring the skill and technique peculiar to this new industry. Continued progress in this direction will contribute to higher efficiencies and lower costs, which are so necessary to the attainment of the objective I have just mentioned of providing low-cost transportation within the reach of an ever-increasing number of people. With that objective in mind, all of us in General Motors Corporation in the United States are keenly following the development of this new undertaking, and I assure you of the corporation's continued interest and support. I join with Mr. Bettel, therefore, in expressing appreciation of the cooperation that has been received from the Commonwealth and state government, our suppliers in Australia, and the personnel and employees all of the General Motors Holdings Limited. Again, I wish to say that we of General Motors have confidence in Australia's expanding development and launch this new enterprise in the spirit expressed by your own Prime Minister as a foreword to your book, This is Australia, which I had occasion to look over carefully before I started in this direction. And I was impressed by the thing that he said in that foreword, which was, Australia is the one land in the world peopled with the English-speaking race, which offers unlimited opportunities for those who will work to advance and expand this country. It is the one remaining new world. By advancement and expansion, it is not to be thought that Australia can be the stamping ground of ruthless exploit. The way is not open for them, but there are good prospects for men of capital and men and women willing to take their part in the building of Australia into the great nation in which a decent, just, and constantly improving way of life is the right of all. And it is in that spirit that we are here today.
That was Mr. B.D. Conkle, Vice President and Director of General Motors Corporation, United States of America.
Thank you, Mr. Conkle. That concludes the formal part of our program. The next feature is an especially arranged inspection of our plant so that you might witness many of our interesting and, we think, fascinating operations. While the hall is being cleared of the chairs and prepared for afternoon tea and cocktails, in which I hope you'll all participate, I urge you to take this factory tour. Those of you who have never had the opportunity of seeing what it takes to build a motor car will, I think, find it most enlightening and worthwhile, especially the ladies. The route has been designed with care and with every consideration for your comfort and convenience. The tour begins in the building to the left as you leave the hall. And you may start going right through. Marshals wearing blue ribbons will indicate the route, and guides with red ribbons and stationed at points of interest will be happy to answer any questions and explain any particular operation. Our hostesses, too, will be on duty along the route and in the rest areas where chairs are available and guests may stop if they so desire. You merely have to follow the arrow. I want to thank you all very much indeed for coming here today. Thank you.
Now, just before I sign off, you might like to know, and I have some of the details of the car now. I've had a look at it during the speeches. It's a 5 to 6 passenger sedan of only 5 feet overall height with a minimum road clearance of 8.5 inches. It has a 21.6 horsepower, 6-cylinder overhead valve engine, which is, I'm told, very silent and unusually flexible. The Holden will speed, or this will speed the Holden at least at more than 80 miles per hour. It gives quite exceptional acceleration and a fuel economy which has hitherto only been obtainable from a baby type of car. Until in one actual test, two Holdens over 600 miles of varying roads, an average speed of 35 miles per hour, an economy of more than 37 miles a gallon was recorded. I noticed that it had a very roomy boot, adjustable front seat, splendid vision provided in all directions for the driver and the passengers, and I'm assured that it's a very comfortable riding at all speeds. Well, now, that concludes the ceremony of launching the new Australian car produced by General Motors Holdings Limited. Mr. Holden. It's a credit to Australian workmanship and enterprise. In fact, it's a credit to everyone connected with this production. And all of you General Motors people listening to me now are to be congratulated on a very splendid job. Well done. The Holden is a car built by Australians for Australians. Now, this is Zeke saying goodbye, everybody.